Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And apples still grow in November, when blossoms still bloom from each tree, when leaves are still green in December. It's then that our land will be free. Hey, wander our hills and our valleys, but still through my sorrow I see a land that is never freedom, and only our rivers run free. I drink to the death of a manhood, those men who would rather have died than to live in a cold chains of bondage. To bring back our rights once denied. And where are you now when we need you? What burns where the flame used to be? I yawn like the snows of last winter, and only our rivers run free. How sweet is a life but we're dying. How gentle the winds of sighs. How fragrant the rose but is dying. Gentle the wind but is sighs. What good is in you? What joy are in eyes that can't see, and there's sorrow, sunshine and flower. Still only our rivers run free. Still only our rivers run free.
Yes, what a welcome. This is, my name's Ryan Clifford, and this is the Celtic Now and Club podcast, and that was Sean Philbin on the guitar. Sean, how are you, mate?
All right, Ryan, how's it going, mate?
Brilliant, mate. Thanks for the song there, mate. Superb. We're also joined by Robert Boyle once again. Robert, how are you doing, mate?
Great, Ryan. Thank you. Superb again, Sean. Brilliant.
Cheers, mate.
And we're also joined by a new guest, the panel, Chloe. Chloe, how are you?
Thank you. How are you?
Well, not bad. It's Friday night, so it's another good podcast. Obviously, it's regarding the Glasgow Derby and Sunday against Rangers. Obviously, Chloe, it's your first time on. Just can I get your obviously Celtic thoughts? How did you actually start to become a Celtic fan? How was it family, or was it just kind of took upon yourself to be a Celtic fan?
Yeah, my dad supports Celtic, and his side of the family all support Celtic, so it just stemmed from that, really. From my dad, he's the biggest Celtic fan apart from me.
I think that's, and it, Robert, it's, and Sean, it's kind of ingrained for you. Most of the time, you can just take it upon yourself and you see your family doing it, and it's just something you, once you're in that type of atmosphere, that's you for the rest of your life.
Definitely, Ryan. Definitely. It's just, I think that's just how we all grow up in it, supporting Celtic and families. And then when you start going to the games, it's just natural that just you fall in love with it.
Because it's obviously yourself, Sean, you're singing the bars and stuff, so you're obviously a massive Celtic fan yourself. It's obviously been engraved in you as well since you were a young boy.
Definitely, mate. It's just, it's what you grow up with, isn't it? It's just your life from a very young age.
And it's obviously something that's still ways I know, and I know we're going through a bit of a tough time, but hopefully better days are coming with a new manager coming, hopefully, get announced soon. But obviously, Chloe, what's been your kind of earliest memory of being a Celtic fan?
My earliest memory of being a Celtic fan is probably just my granny and granda always playing the Rebel songs and the Celtic songs around the house, and always cutting about with a Celtic top on, or the house having Celtic flags around it, and then my dad taking me to the Celtic games and stuff. So it's always been a part of my life.
And how is that for you when it's Celtic Park for the first time?
I can't even remember the first time I went to Celtic Park. I was that wee, but yeah, it's just my favourite place in the world, as I'm sure it is for lots of Celtic fans everywhere.
I think it's obviously, Robert, Sean, it's something that we've missed. Obviously, we kind of go to games and it kind of makes you realise how much maybe the club does mean to you.
Definitely, Ryan. It's called paradise for a reason, isn't it? Because it brings you so much joy. It brings you a bit of heartache, but more joy than heartache. It sounds mad, but you watch videos of European games and even league games and you feel a bit emotional because you've not been there in a while. You feel like it's like a part of your life that's been took away. But hopefully with the vaccine and everything else and we're seeing daylight at the end of the tunnel, we can all get back to it. And I think I'll never complain about playing Morton or something in the cup ever again. Just to get back to Celtic Park, you would play Albion Rovers. I think it would be full out there now.
It's definitely. We're all missing it, Sean. And obviously, yourself, you do a lot of music as well. So you'll be obviously missing playing in the bars and stuff and being around the fans. It's just, as Robert says, hopefully better days are coming.
Aye, definitely. It's just the, obviously, the way the world is now, it's difficult. Different being, obviously, the buzz in a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon or even a midweek game. But it's tough really trying to get them, just realise how much you miss it and just trying to get up for games and stuff like that, because you're just, it becomes just boring watching the house. So, not boring, but you know what I mean? It just becomes like, it's not the same feeling watching in the house as it is watching in a stadium full of your own people, do you know what I mean? Fighting the guys in front, you know that, Rab, as you've experienced me doing that for a few times.
Some dodgy comments getting flung about, aren't
there? Exactly.
It's something I think hopefully we'll get back into the stadium soon, especially European games and on. I know we've not done well in Europe, but that's the games you miss. It's the games you always look forward to. And obviously, Rangers games we kind of go to. So you'll get frustrated this season, but we're not really doing well. And obviously, we've lost the league. So it's very frustrating for us all. And obviously, Chloe, following Celtic, you've obviously been a lot of games and stuff. How obviously, talking about away games, is there been at any away game, with particular away trips, in particular yourself that you've been to, and it's something you'll never really forget?
The most unforgettable one for me would be Copenhagen last year. It was the most eventful, shall we say. But yeah, ended up having a great time, and I met a lot of really lovely people that I still talk to today, so made a lot of friends on that trip. And yeah, unforgettable memories.
I think that's the thing. We spoke about it in the last podcast with Robert, that I think you'll agree with as well, Chloe, that you meet people when you go abroad with Celtic that you might never meet again, and it's just brilliant to meet new people that support the same team as you and just get a fantastic time away.
Yeah, that's something I love about supporting Celtic and going to the games and stuff, is you get to meet people from all walks of life, young and old, who become friends. And I just love talking to people, especially about Celtic, so it's great.
We can echo that, Robert, isn't it? Yep, it's the fact we can't go, you're missing me, you're throwing yourself, as you say, you're throwing yourself when you score goals, you're kissing the guy next to you, the woman next to you, it's just total, especially abroad when you score away from home and abroad, we don't do it too often, so when we do date and we win abroad, it's brilliant memories.
Aye, the only time we do win abroad, Rome. Well, obviously we've won a couple of times, Anderlecht and that, but aye, it's, as Chloe says, you meet people for all walks of life and all countries in the world, France, Spain, Italy, Germany. It's phenomenal. And you're like, wow, how do they? They've got all the clubs in the world to choose from. They choose to support Celtic. It's incredible. It's just, as Chloe says, it's like a 3-day party or 2-day party when you go on these trips. I mean, the memories will last your full life. It's just incredible today. And even in away games in Scotland, I mean, it's brilliant. I just think following Celtic as a whole, whether it be home games or away games, I think it's a buzz that you'll not get anything else. Like, obviously, football is that buzz, but following Celtic, I feel it's like a drug. Mm-hmm. The more you do it, the more you want it. That's the way I feel it. And I just can't get enough. And it's been hard not being able to go to the football, but hopefully better times are just around the corner.
Because obviously, saying it's hard for us, we can't go. And obviously, Sean's a big game for us personally. It's a big game on Sunday to try and stop Rangers for getting unbeaten and whatever else, and basically 3 points on the board against them this season. What's your kind of thoughts on Sunday's game? Obviously, the lineup, maybe Forrest, maybe back in. I just think we need to be a bit more positive on Sunday.
Definitely. I'm not, to be honest, I've got no positive at all. It's just like you're desperate for them to do well just now, but I think going into the last Rangers game at New Year, like, the team were flying at that point in time. Like, they had, Turnbull was playing well, Sorrow was doing well. We were playing a solid kind of, a couple of solid performances in a row, and you went into a bit, the game with a bit of confidence. But you're getting this game on Sunday, like, you don't know what to expect now. Obviously, you've had a couple of weeks off, and it's giving Kennedy maybe a chance to kind of put more of his ideas across, because obviously you've seen the last game they went with the 4-2-3-1 again rather than the diamond. I don't particularly think the diamond works anyway, but I think that the 4-2-3-1 definitely does. But I think having Forrest back, as you say, like, I would have him in the team every day of the week now and be Christy out, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was to drop Turnbull on Sunday and play Christy behind the striker and play Forrest in there just for like, a bit of the experience of the game, basically. But you just don't know what to expect with Celtic now. Like, they're just been every time you think, oh, that's it, you can't get any worse. And then I'd love to sit here confidently and say, we're going to get absolutely scalped them, but I'm just not confident at all.
Because I agree when it comes to, obviously, this season, Turnbull's been the scapegoat when it comes to subs, and I just don't know. I personally think Celtic need to be careful with them, because if he continues the rest of the year, he might say, get me out of here.
You can see, Ryan, that he struggles. Like, after 60 minutes, he falls out of the game. He struggles with fitness. Like, you can see right away, like, he just tends to kind of drift out of game. Similar to what Rogic does. Rogic gets to that 60, 70-minute mark and then just completely falls out of the game, like, if not before then. So, Tumble is as the same, so he can't really have any, I'm not saying complaints, but like he's going along that way. I don't think the team in general has been fit enough this season anyway, and maybe that's just a factor, a part of that kind of bigger issue. But as I said, it wouldn't surprise me to see Tumble drop out. I do think he's probably the one player on the team with a bit of craft and a bit of guile to pick a pass and to score for distance as well. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Forrest in and Tumble out for Christie in the middle of the park.
I totally agree when it comes to Forrest. I think I've said before that I used to be a big kind of critic of him defensively. I didn't have done enough, but his stats tell me that I'm maybe near it, because his contribution to the team's phenomenal. His goals, assists, and this season just proves clearly that we've really missed him, because we've been there with at all season.
There's been something missing throughout the season, and it's hard to put your finger on at times what it is, whether it's confidence within the team or certain players lacking in fitness and things. Hopefully better days are ahead, but I don't know. Don't know about Sunday anyway.
It's been happening all season, but I'm maybe I'm deluded, but I'm always confident in Rangers games. I just think you've always got to be, as much as we're not really doing well. I just think, Robert, we've got to do what we've done in the last game, front foot, just because they were tired after Thursday's game. And so we've been fresh. We've had a week or 10 days to be able to work on stuff. I think we just need to take them for the front foot and just take the game to them, because, and be more clinical, because with a game against Rangers Ibrox, the last game, clinical, apart from the Lee Grivis's save McGregor, we didn't really put our chances away.
No, we didn't. But the young boy Nathan Patterson, target him. For the first whistle, go at him. He's no that great. They're trying to break him out to be the new Kieran Tierney. I don't know what the fuck they're trying to do, right? The boy's all right, but for what I've seen him, he can be got at. He's no that great shakes. I would target his line right away, just to see how he's going to cope with the occasion. Because I don't think Tavernier's fit, is he?
I've not a clue.
I would
nearly get a winger on that side, but that's a problem, Rab. Like, unless you play El Yunusi out there and he's hot, do you know what I mean?
I know. But surely a guy of his experience should be thinking to himself, I'm coming up against a young boy 18, 19. If I was Kennedy, I'd say take him a few times, where it's Greg Taylor lacks out, two of you get down that line and get him, just to see what he's made of. Because it's a big game for a young boy coming in. All right, they've won the league, a wee bit of pressure. There's no pressure on Celtic. Maybe the pressure has waved on Celtic this season, I don't know. Or some a million factors on Celtic this season, but I just feel we're going into that game under no a lot of pressure. We need to try and stop them from going on an unbeaten run all season, but I just feel they're not a great team. As much as they've won the league at a canter, that we've been poor. But the last game proved they're no great shakes. If you go at them and attack them, they can go at it. But obviously, we need to try and score an early goal, because the last time when we went for them, I felt they sussed us like early and went, well, this mob are here to do us. Let's just sit in a shape. And they're hard to break down if you let them into their shape. And
that's all they do all the time, but Rob.
Aye. But if you score an early goal, then you can question them. But down the wings, I always feel down the wings is where you'll be able to get at them. And it's just whether we play the right team or the right formation, or the players turn up in it. That's a problem.
See, when you think about it, like, we've went this whole season with any width in the team. The minute Forrest get injured, like, Mikey Johnson doesn't really cut it for me. Like, he's good enough. He's got all right, but he's just a bit too much of a sand dancer for me. But I just can never understand why the ref never went and bought a winger. He's not a be on end, but that boy Boyle for Hibs, it's a stopgap. Just couldn't get somebody like that to give you a bit of width in the team and to drag players like, about the place or that and the opposing team. But I just couldn't. That's probably why they ended up settling in that diamond formation, because they don't have any players to play there.
I know.
The
wide. That's the width.
It's crazy, man.
You're right, Sean. It's killed us, and that's how all these wee compact teams managed to get points off us, because you can't break through the middle against 8 and 9 players. That's exactly. they're going like triangle wide because you'll knock them through the middle and Celtic are trying to keep them through the middle with a diamond, as you say. Didn't they work? Overcrowded.
I totally agree with you, Sean, when it comes to the width. How we didn't sign a winger in January it's criminal. We knew that he was going to be out for a while yet. And even Mikey Johnson, even when he's been fit, he's not really been playing. So to me, that tells me that he's not good enough. I'm not his biggest fan either, Sean. Maybe again, James Hamilton, some money might do you, but I don't think he's going to take us to the next level. I don't know what you think of that, Chloe, but I think wingers-wise, we need to improve big time because we can't keep relying on Forrest to come in and basically do the business.
Usually expect Celtic to do much when it comes to a transfer window. Unfortunately, they just don't ever seem to get the players in that we need. They don't ever seem to get in any real quality or that. I feel like the defence is something that needs improved as well, and just agree with everything you are saying.
When it comes to defence, I think that's going to be a major rebuild in the summer, because we don't know if Ayer's going to leave or stay. John Joe Kenny's probably going to go back to Everton. Laxalt's going to go back. It's just Shane Duffy's going to go back. So we're going to be missing a lot of defenders. And I agree with Chloe that I think we need to hopefully whoever comes in is made Dominic McKay. He's got a lot to think about when it comes to rebuilding, especially defence, because it's one of the major things in football. If you've not got a good defence, then the rest of your team kind of goes the same way, and it doesn't really, the core is just isn't there.
I think it goes further than that. Like, Ryan, there's going to be a massive rebuild needed this summer. Like, when you think to yourself, like, one of the three goalkeepers is going to go away, then you're going to get rid of, well, Frimpong's already away, Ralston isn't good enough, Elhamid's already away, Duffy will be away, potentially Beaton, potentially Ayer, Laxalt. Like, then you've got guys like Brown going to retire, Christie wants away, apparently Eddie wants away. Is Griffiths, is he good enough? No, sure, El Yunusi will be away. Like, there's just so much, it's mental. I counted it at 15 or 16 players that you think, like guys like Ahmed Dembele, the boy Harper that's left, they're apparently coming through. I've seen about young players and that we lose. And like, I mean, that's 15, potentially 15 players you're going to lose this summer. It's mental.
You forgot the best player of them all, Andre Gutman. American. Never seen him play. He's just left.
Perez, never seen it to him at all, man.
That must have been green cards they were looking for, eh? Celtic sponsored their green cards.
Remember, he was in trial with Rangers before he signed for us.
Aye, wild, mate. I'd, honestly, that's got to be the most strangest signing ever. Never even played a game.
But the fact was, didn't they have work permits to play anyway?
They couldn't get work permits, aye.
So, why sign him in the first place? It's absolutely, again, as we spoke about all year, Robert, just negligence for the transfer and the recruitment. It's been poor. The fact you've signed a guy paid on wages for what, 2 or 3 years, and he's not kicked the ball.
I don't get, unless they had like tried to develop them and sell them in the American market, I don't know. And try to obviously, because I've got like feeder clubs and all that earlier, haven't they? Ones in obviously the second division in America that they kind of say, I will show you how to train players and do things if any top talent we can take. But you've seen that with about a million clubs over the years. Yeah. I've yet to see one player come to us and that was a great link up with him. Very, very strange. I feel for John Park left, as I say a million times, Ryan, that I don't think the recruitment's been very good at all. I feel we've signed far too many projects and only getting joy out of one or two. The projects outweigh the one or two diamonds that we seem to pull out, but that's just typical Celtic. But I hope with Dominic McKay we go in a new direction and we don't just sign squad players, we sign players ready-made to come in and make an impact at us. I feel that's why we're no progressing in Europe as well, because we're signing too many squad players.
Definitely.
No, that's something we definitely need to do better, signing guys who as you say, projects. I think next year, I think Chloe, next year it's going to be guys that are going to come in and play right away, because next year there's going to be no time for projects.
I would have said that this season was the time where we didn't have the time to be spending on things and players like that, wasting time essentially. But I mean, all they can do is they're going to need to build for the ground up by the sounds of it. When you add up all the players, like Sean said, that are probably going to leave, going to be away back to their own clubs and things that are on loan, it doesn't leave you with much to count on.
Because obviously there's going to be maybe a lot of, hopefully a lot of money coming in, hopefully for transfers. So when it comes to a rebuild, you'd like to think they're already marking out players that come in, which I think is going to be, I don't know, but it's going to be something that it should be in place to now with Dominic McKay.
Definitely, Ryan. I'm hoping there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes at Celtic, but we don't know, do we? It's very, very silent at the moment in time. But here's hoping that in the next couple of weeks there's a lot of announcements getting made and a lot of work that's been going on in the background that we just don't know about yet.
Exactly. Fingers crossed.
Because obviously, Sean, when it comes to the manager situation, it's all hearsay and rumours, but I think the fans need to be told soon, because the longer it's left in the lurch, you know yourself, the fans are like, the longer they'll know where to go, they'll know where to get season books. It's just, it's a very tough time and they've got to get it right, because if they don't get it right, it could be major, major disaster for us.
Yeah, I think the board must know that there's obviously a bit of apathy towards, well, more than a bit of apathy, but like a lot of people are fucking really disgruntled with what happened last year, or what happened this season, sorry. And I mean, the banners and all you need to do is really take a look at social media before you even look at the banners and the statements for various fans and fan groups. It's mental. Like, the board have got to get themselves a bit more in touch with the fan base. They're just sort of touching. I think that making the right appointment now will help them big time, but if they make the wrong decision, like, it's probably like the biggest opportunity or the biggest decision they've had to make in a long, long, long time. Like, potentially, like, they really want somebody that's going to raise the standards again, like Rodgers did. And make no mistake about it, like, Gerrard, as much as I can't go the guy, he's raised the standards earlier. And Roger raised their standards, and then we've just let them slip back again by having Lennon in charge. Like a complete yes man. So all these people talk about now, like that guy Derek Ray, who used to commentate in BT Sport, I think he still does commentate in BT Sport about German games now. Like, he was tweeting a couple of things about basically talking about Jesse Marsh and how the kind of German way of running football clubs with the kind of the structure, and that's what a lot of these kind of continental young managers are looking for now, a structure in place where they've got a technical director and someone to manage that side of things, and then they're just basically a coach. I think that's obviously what maybe Celtic are looking to get in with all these rumours of the guy for Man City and the guy for Juventus and stuff like that. So I think it's the biggest decision they've had in a long, long time, but you just don't know what's going through the board's head. Are they going to just go for a manager again? Are they going to go for a technical director and coach? Are they going to try and become more kind of European to try and get a bit more success, like with a kind of more progressive young manager? Like, you'll end up with somebody like Roy Keane or Mick McCarthy, or, do you know what I mean? That's who you'll probably end up with, and you'll get your hopes up. I mean, when they gave Lennon the job, everybody was expecting the rumours about Rafa Benitez and David Moyes flying about, and you get Lennon appointed in the showers. Like, I should the Celtic. It's just, I mean, how many times recently have you been disappointed thinking you're going to get somebody good and you end up with?
Aye,
fingers crossed, just they make the right decision now, and we can all be. It just gives the fans a lift, you know what I mean? And that's what the fans really need to know, something positive to look on.
I think, obviously, as you say, but the fans were disappointed. What we spoke about all year, Robert, what's Lennon been saying? Very disappointed. Damn right we're disappointed, and if we don't get something sorted soon, we'll not be disappointed, we'll be more than that.
Aye, it'll be a very angry support again, but it's I mean, let's be honest, we've outsold the Adidas season book strips. They sold out record, the fifth largest Adidas, fifth largest sales of strips that year worldwide. They sold out in the Celtic shop. They had to order new stuff in. We sold 55,000 season books, the most they've ever sold. The fans done their part. The board let us down. I get a lot of signings didn't work out, but we should have been prepared in a lot better way, as in top targets and just under. As I've already spoken about, Ryan, the rumours was Tony was in the building and we managed to fuck up the deal, same as the John McGinn. How can you have somebody in the building ready to sign and manage the deal collapses? To me, that's just total bad management for the club and penny pinching, because look at the boy Tony's doing now. He's banging them in the Championship. I've lost count of the amount of goals, over 23, 24 now, and so many assists. So I don't even want to look at what he's scoring now, because it just makes me sick. But things like that, if we identified him, we should have just made sure what we had to pay next to a million, next to half a million to get the guy in. Just that one needs to change, because there's so many things. I get told off a friend of mine that James McCarthy was, when he was with Hamilton, he was running at Celtic, asked him to run his contact in and they would sign him. Peter Lowell's mate had a meeting with him and said they would sign him, but he had to run his contact in with Hamilton. Come on, that's poor, innit? And obviously Hamilton accepted an offer for Wigan or whatever it was, and they went there. But Peter Lowell's mate had a meeting with James McCarthy at his house and said, aye, if you run your contact, then we'll sign you. That's
something that doesn't surprise us, Robert. The recent recruitment, it's thoroughly surprises. Obviously, the recruitment this season, Coley, has been poor. What's your kind of thoughts on the recruitment side of Celtic recently?
Said it's been poor. And it seems as well that, like, the youth section of the club seems to be going downhill as well. I think a lot of them are leaving and will probably want to leave, as well as players within the first team. So it's not even as if we've got any of the players to maybe fall back on or to bring into the first team. I know that Lennon had brought Stephen Welsh into the first team and he seemed to have been doing great and things, but I think there was a real lack of giving the younger players a bit more of a chance, especially when we're playing so badly anyway. Like, you've got nothing to lose, do you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. I think me personally, I'm a big advocate for getting youth players involved. Obviously, certain times of the season, you kind of bleed them in, you give them maybe 15 minutes, 10 minutes, you give them experiences. And like you're talking about there, with the youth, maybe players want to go away. The young boy Dembele, we don't know what it is, why he's not been given more time. Is it his attitude? Is it he's not good enough? Or is it because if he's learning, then he want to play him? We don't know. But guys like Dembele, et cetera, Coley, who have been highly thought of, are not even getting in the squad, then you're thinking, what is happening at Celtic's youth system?
Yeah, it's a question that remains unanswered. I think a lot of Celtic fans are wondering what had actually been going on. And when we have seen young Dembele playing, he seemed like a bit of a star, an upcoming star, and a lot of Celtic fans want to see more of him, and we've just been denied that for some reason. But you never know what's going on behind closed doors. But I think they should have been given a bit more of a chance. Otherwise, it gets to the stage where they're right. They're like, well, we're going to go elsewhere or whatever, you know.
Because obviously, you mentioned the boy Harper's away as well now, Sean. And then there's a young goalkeeper now saying he's maybe want to go away. He's only 17, though, with the first team, he's want to go elsewhere. You're thinking, what's the attraction for Celtic now? Is it because the manager's away and there's no structure, as you say? That's why the Germans have all got a structure, even down south now, Man City, they've all got a structure, they use up to the first team, and it's something that we need, for me, it's got to change. We've got to modernise the way we work our football club.
You look at the goalkeeper that left us a couple of weeks ago, went to Liverpool, and he was on our bench last week, or a couple of weeks ago. Like, guy, I mean, and obviously they've got injuries, but he's getting a chance. We played Lille at home, and a boy Henderson I thought was brilliant that night.
Young Ewan.
Where's he been since? He's not been seen since.
I agree with you, Sean.
It's crazy. It's mental. Mikey Johnson, like that night, he got injured. I know he was supposed to get warmed up. He warmed up, and he came on, he got injured, and then he's taken off again, and he's getting up the tunnel, and then he goes like to him, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what sort of young player wants to work for a guy like that? Like, and then you made the point there about Stephen Welsh, Chloe. Like, I think he was he brought in a desperation more than anything else because they needed a centre half and they had nobody else. But I just think that the youth development has just been done an absolute. I mean, you're supposed to have this fantastic Lennox Town facility, and you got all these guys that want to leave it. Boy Hepburn that went away to Bayern Munich, a boy Morrison's away to Bayern Munich. It's mental. We're just not giving these boys a chance, and they're seeing all these boys from England going abroad to Germany and getting a chance right away and flying out there. Whereas we've got guys that week in, week out playing absolutely shite, but still guaranteed a game the next week.
It's laughable sometimes when you see these guys leave Celtic and then a few months later, as you say, their own top team's benches, and you're thinking, but they can't even on the bench against Hamilton. And that, Robert, you're thinking, what is actually going on? Is it maybe Celtic's part, but they don't want to put them on early doors so they don't get picked up early doors? I don't know what it is, but it's got to change.
I don't know if it's down to a lot of young boys are just greedy for money and stuff now, because these big clubs come calling, they're scared to leave. I don't know. Or, as you say, if Rodgers left, the structure of the club isn't the same. It's obviously trying to fit square pegs into round holes type of thing, because everything's just no right through the club. If you tap the bottom, there should be a structure in place, as we spoke about a million times. There should be a pathway to the first team. And obviously a lot of these young boys don't see that now. They don't see the club in a structured way for them to maybe get a chance or even to... I mean, managers changing every 2 and 3 years doesn't help young boys coming through either. The youth managers are changing quite regularly as well. So maybe that's... They don't like the way it's set up. Like Steve McManus coming in, for John Kennedy coming in, to Damien and Duff coming in and then moving up to the first team. It's a lot of changes, you know what I mean? They need to have somebody in that structure or a director of football that has that way they can go, right, this is how we're going to develop it right through to the first team. I don't know. Obviously, we don't know what's happening with these young boys, but there seems to be a lot of them leaving, as I say, one to Man City, two to Bayern Munich, one to Liverpool. We shouldn't be losing all that top talent so early. And as Sean says, the young boy that went to Liverpool was on the bench, and maybe just even to have him on the bench might have been what he was looking for at Celtic, just a chance, or train with the first team, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't getting to train with the first team, maybe some of the young boys aren't getting to train with the first team there. Maybe that's the problem, we don't know. Maybe it wasn't Neil Lennon, we don't know. We don't know what's happening behind the scenes, as we say, at Celtic. It's very, very strange. But hopefully, with everything that's coming in, we're going to change and we're going to see a structure put in place at the club.
I hope so, mate, because it's got to change. Because obviously, the Brexit happening and stuff, we might actually need to, I don't know the ins and outs of the Brexit transfers, but we actually might need to bleed through our own youth and sell our own youth talent to make more money. And I think we need to start doing that. I think, obviously, Kieran Tierney and Ian McGeady, they're maybe the last two that went for decent money, off the top of my head. But I just think... I don't know what you think, Kate, as well, Chloe, that I just think the youths, we've got to start putting them in, because if we're going to make money on our talent, we've got to start getting them in so they get experience, so we can sell them on as well.
Yeah, I think we need to showcase them if that's the plan. Like you said, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, we don't know, but at least give them a bit more experience and a bit more game time here and there. I think it would help.
I think it would help as well. Sean, I think it would actually help the experienced boys as well to have a bit of youth and a bit of freshness in the team and training.
I think that's a big thing for the team just now. I mean, it's the same players that have been going the well for us for 4 years, mean, you think to yourself, Brown, McGregor, like I have been there for a few years, like Edward, Griffiths, Christie, Forrest. A lot of the team, a lot of the kind of core, like the spine of the team is the same. Like, and you're not really mixing it up week in, week out. I don't like harping back to the Huns, but they take one player out of their team, two players out of their team. Every week they're changing their team and you don't notice a difference. The players come in, they're so well drilled. Every single player, never mind if he's a sub or he's a starter, knows a position in the team. What if they do, how do they do it, when if they press, when if they sit, what parts of the ground they part of the cover. Like, they're so well drilled. Exactly, who they come out of assault on. But we've got the same players in the team who sometimes look lost. And something, but we don't freshen it up. We don't bring in a Ewan Henderson or a Dembele or an Uncle Flex or somebody in the middle of the park to give the guys like McGregor or Browning. Sorrow was absolutely flying for months there. Mm. Having a lot of good games and we've not been seen since. Look at McConnell, seen he's waiting loan to Queen's Park. I mean, what is the point of buying that boy?
I know.
Trains with the first team every day and doesn't even get on the bench.
See, what I found strange for that is he was playing with Bolton in the Championship and then now he's playing the Celtic's youth development squad.
But he's not even getting on the bench.
He was Bolton's best player. They were raging when they left. Huh? When they left. Raging.
He's not been on the... He's never been... I don't think he's been on the bench like this season anyway. Well, not for the last few while anyway. Like, I can remember. Like...
Nah. It's very strange, isn't it?
Strange.
Sure. Do you want a song? Do you want to say a song?
I know you're a busy man, Sean. Give you a wee song to yourself out, mate. Hopefully, next time I speak to you, mate, it'll be 3 points on Sunday.
Fingers crossed. Thanks very much for having me on, lads. Sorry, I've got to take dive away, go to my lot, but
no, appreciate
right,
it, mate.
Finish with a wee hymn. Seen it since St. Patrick's Day on Wednesday there, so he'll go there, St. Patrick. Hope your team wins on Sunday.
Hail Gloria, St. Patrick, ye saints of our isle, as thy poor children bestow a sweet smile, and that at your high end, your mansions above, on Erin's green valley, look down in thy love. Thy people now exiles of many a shore shall love and revere you till time be no more, and a fire that's kindled shall ever burn bright, its warmth undiminished, undying its light. God bless and defend the sweet land of above, but a shamrock still blooms as we were on earth, and our hearts shall yet burn wherever we roam, for God and St. Patrick and our native home. Hail Gloria, St. Patrick, your Erin's great pride, wash down on the Celts, the banks of the Clyde, green and white banners, a cross and a prayer, where Erin's green valleys look down on Parkhead. On Erin's green valleys, on Erin's green valleys, on Erin's green valleys, look down with your love.
Thanks very much for having me on, guys.
Brilliant, Sean. Thanks for your time, mate. Cheers, mate.
Hail, hail. Cheers.
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 Well, obviously, Coy, the game is Sunday. What's your opinions? Obviously, as I said, Sean, the lineup, obviously, for the last game, we were very, very good until obviously Beaton got sent off. Do you think we need to do anything different in particular, or do you just think we need to start the game strong and finish our chances?
Just hopefully start the game strong, man. Like, please. And yeah, create as many chances as possible. That's something that annoys me about Celtic sometimes, is that you'll only maybe have one or two players who'll create a chance and like actually do something with the ball. I think a lot of the time there's a lot of sitting back, waiting about, passing it back and forth to each other between the back four or however many there is. There's just a lot of time wasting with Celtic sometimes. So I think just attack, to be honest. We've got nothing to lose at this point, have we? So.
No, that's true, definitely. The only thing we've got today is, I think there's probably more motivation for us, Robert, than there is Rangers, because as Sean says, the league's won. We just need to go and, as John Kennedy says, just to let people know we're still here, we're still a threat to people in this league.
100%, Ryan. I mean, I think the players owe us it, to be honest with you. I feel how the seasons went, they really, really owe us it. And I think, honestly, I'm confident enough we'll beat them. I know you say that every time you play them, but I just feel that we'll get joyed in the wings if we play with a 4-2-3-1. I feel they'll be ready for the diamond, if that's what they'll probably think. We'll go diamond because we had a lot of joy against them last time. But we didn't really have a lot of joy, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. We kind of went compact and made ourselves hard to break down, and we didn't get enough joy at it. So we're at home, we're Celtic, our best attack, best defence is attack, let's be honest. That's the only way we know Celtic, because we're not good at defending. So I would just go for the jugular, right, for the first whistle. Go for them and just go a 4-2-3-1, try and get Forrest on one wing and try and get El Anusio on the other wing, and get the wing-backs pushing high up to support them. Put Rangers on the back foot. Don't let Rangers get into a rhythm of their game. Don't let them get into a passing. I don't want to see a Celtic player 2 or 3 yards off a Rangers player. Don't give them time to settle on the ball. Let's be honest. If you give them time to settle, they'll knock the ball about you and they'll enjoy the game. And we've done it too many times previously. Let Rangers get into their rhythm, and then when the day they've became the better team and won. The last few times at Celtic Park, we've been really disappointed against them. So I want to see a bit of aggression in a play tomorrow. I want to see us going for the jugular, as Chloe said. They always, let's be honest.
Aye, we've definitely got to. We've got to go out attack. I agree with you. Nothing to lose. Basically, go do the exact same thing we did do the last game, but score. And I totally agree with you, Robert. And I think Chloe was agreeing with me as well, Chloe, that the fans owe us a big performance. The players owe us a big performance.
Yeah, definitely. Like, they've let us down big time this season. As a club, not just the players. And yeah, I think it would give the fans something to look forward to in a sense, because we could build off of that. And we would at least know that we've still got some kind of presence, especially against Rangers, who have been very dominating against us and every other team in the league this season. And yeah, I just think we should attack, go for the jugular, like Robert said. I don't want to see Celtic players giving any Rangers players the time to do anything. I want them on their backs. I want tackles made. I want the ball took off them if they end up with it, but hopefully not too much.
I think something that we've been missing in the last few games against Rangers is a bit of physicality. I think our team's all technically gifted players, and I think Scott Brown, he's not Scott Brown anymore, so he's maybe not as fiery as he was, Robert. He's not as much tackles as he was, and he's the only maybe leader on the part that obviously there's no fans, but we put in a tackle to get a reaction, to get something to the team. We've no, apart from Scott Brown, we've no McGregor. For me, McGregor's
What about this one then, Ryan? You have, it's a 4-2-3-1. You have Brown and Sorrow as the two holding. Mm-hmm. You have Tumbo at the top of it. And you have Cal McGregor at wide left. And just play him wide left to get down that wing. Because he always drifts to the left anyway. And that way you've got your protection of Sorrow and Brown. Two of them with a bit of dig in the middle of the park where you win, you could win the midfield. I'm not saying that's what we should do. It's just another option. And maybe take Elanus out of the equation and put McGregor down the left-hand side. That way you've got your midfield solid in front of the back four.
So I think
just
if you,
another option.
I think if you win the midfield battle, I've always said this, you win the midfield battle, most times you do win these games. And obviously Scott Brown is a bit older, but I still think he's maybe got a big part of the play out end of the season to try and recharge us. And I think he's still, I know what his opinions divide on him with the fans. I don't know what your opinions are on this season and obviously for this game on Sunday, Chloe, but for me, I think Scott Brown's still got to play these games at least to the end of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I feel like Scott Brown is a player that Celtic need. So when he leaves, we need to be looking for another Scott Brown kind of player. Like you said earlier, the kind of guy who's not afraid to make a tackle or go after somebody who's just hurt one of the other players or like on the fly. Do you know what I mean? A wee bit of fire, a wee bit of spark in the middle of the park. But I definitely think that Scott Brown should play, yeah.
Because obviously you're talking about like wee fly digs. It's what Morelos does for Rangers. And
exactly. I think it's needed to an extent to create a presence. You want the other players to kind of be a bit afraid to tackle you. I mean, if I was a footballer, I would want that. So, yeah, I feel like Scott Brown has that presence that nobody ever really messes with him. And if they do, he just retaliates, which I love about him. And I think that's why a lot of Rangers fans hate him so much, the same way that a lot of Celtic fans might dislike Morelos and players like Kenny Miller and things when he played for Rangers. So I think we need a player like that.
Because obviously, I'd never tell a football player to hurt anybody when I played myself. I would never go and hurt somebody, but somebody's got to give Morelos an early dig to let him know he's in a game because he's
not in a malicious way, like you're saying, not in a malicious way, and not when like he's not even got the ball or whatever it is. But yeah, I do think that you need a player like that who's not afraid to tackle and have a wee bit of fire in him.
Because I think in these games, Robert, as you spoke about, experience is a big thing. And these games, Sean has talked about as well with Forrest, having experience in these games. Experience in these games counts a lot. So I think Scott Brown, he's still a major part, at least in the season, in these games to drive us forward and hopefully get us to 3 points.
I feel, as I say, I'd like to see Sorrow and Brown in the same team, whether they do that or no, just because we saw he was good at digging as well as Brown. And I feel the modern game is lacking players like Scott Brown just because he's a dying breed, should we say. Fire in his belly, good in the tackle. I probably fly digs here and there. But a character as well. And I feel with him in the team in these games, the Celtic players will be more fired up because he will not let them go onto the park without him telling them exactly what's needed and in the huddle. I don't feel with a Cal McGregor being your captain, it works as much, you know what I mean? I'm not saying the guy doesn't try his best, but you would show more respect as a player, I would feel, if Scott Brown was giving you your team, like your huddle talk, than you would Cal McGregor. And there's no disrespect to Cal McGregor in that sense. But I feel Scott Brown probably owes us a performance as well in one of these games. And I feel, I do quietly feel we should get a bit of business and beat them. On Sunday, I think it would shut them up as well, wouldn't it? Because they were the favourites to win the Europa League just there, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably Hopkins will be delighted with that, wouldn't they?
Aye, as I seen a tweet the other
day. That must have been fucking sweating when they seen them get knocked out. Fucking thank God for that. Eh?
I seen a tweet. Yes, somebody put it on yesterday. Or can't be. Oh, it was Sean's tweet. Or can't be favourites.
Aye. The Barcelona 2012 team were citing ourselves because they were that good, weren't they?
I do agree with you. As much as we've won the league, you still don't want to beat after rivals. It doesn't matter how far you are in the league, how much you've won. If you could beat a Rangers or Celtic game, for a day or two, you're still a bit pissed off and you're angry. You go to work and you get slaughtered. And I don't know if you get that as well, Chloe, when after a defeat or whatever, your phone's always, get up, ease this and that. And it's not a good feeling going, getting out the next day when your team's getting beaten the Rangers or Celtic game.
Definitely do get that. I've had like pals saying to me like, oh, when Chloe doesn't post anything or after an Old Firm, you know that Celtic have lost and all that. And as well, my mum's side of the family are all Rangers fans, so I need to listen to them if Rangers win and stuff. So yeah, I can relate to that.
How is that? Obviously the family side then is he's half Celtic, half Rangers. He's always, do you have like wee fights, wee arguments about a banter bit all the time?
Yeah, like, well, my dad's side of the family are all Irish, they're all Celtic fans. My mum's side are all Rangers fans. I wouldn't say, like, my mum isn't a Rangers fan or that. Like, she'll say that she's neutral and she doesn't, like, support any football, but if she did, it would be Celtic because she knows all the songs and stuff by this point because of me and my dad. But yeah, my mum's side will definitely have something to say if Rangers win.
I just hope it's, as you say, so, but I'm kind of confident. I'm always confident, as I says, inside you're like, oh, you're nervous, but I'm always confident Celtic will always do the job, especially, I know individually people say, Ryan, you're maybe talking shit here, but me personally, individually, I still think we're a far better team. I just think Rangers have either been good this year, but we've been very, very poor. You can't take away the stats because their clean sheet records and their wins, you can't take it away. I'm just annoyed that we have no put up a challenge, as you say, as Neil Lennon says, Robert, under amalgamated circumstances, which supposedly happened, but we're probably not going to find out. But there's just been something no right all season. I just hope we can he's a bit of limelight, a bit of life this Sunday and get his 3 points and put in a big performance that I think they owe us.
Definitely, Ryan. That's all you ask for. They make a great perform to the best of their ability. And if they do that, I see we'll beat them. That's simply it. For the first whistle, we won our game. And I think if you score against them, which we've not done this season, you'll ask questions of them. And I feel the young boy Patterson has to be go to it. That's why I was saying, I know McGregor or whatever, and I say, just go to him. You might not get by him once or twice, but just keep going at him. I think the boy will crack under pressure. He is only a young boy. I just feel that's where we could get our joy against him. And get Bozanelli into the box. Let Edward feed off it, you know what I mean? See all this build-up play side to side. You let them get into their shape. I'd wear whipping boys for 25 yards out into the box just to trouble them to see what their two centre halves are made of, because I don't feel we put them under a lot of pressure. The one at Celtic Park, we certainly didn't put them under a lot of pressure. I just feel that's what we need today to get the points. You know what I mean?
I totally agree when it comes to the right back. I think it might be his first game against Celtic, so he's not going to have experience, and no matter if there's no fans or there is fans, it's still a massive game. It's still a massive, it's still feisty. It's still one of the games, you know, there's got to be a bit of needle. Obviously, Chloe, we'd all be saying every right back. Do you think that's something that we could get at?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we just go in with an attacking spirit. And it sounds like Robert wants Patterson targeted. So hopefully we can have some good rivalry, hopefully. Hopefully we don't just do what we've been doing all season, really, and just lying down. I hope that we put up a wee bit of a fight and we'll see what happens.
No, 100%. Because I think, as Murph says, I think there was something, because we've not had a lot of cheer about all season. It's been doom and gloom, and a wee good performance here, good performance here, then back to square one again. I just think it's a big game for us to obviously stoke their unbeaten run, which watching last night, their game, I watched it last night, so I had a few quid in Slavia Prague, but you watch that game, Robert, and you hear Craig and Alex Ray saying, oh, was it Darryl Curry says, they've still got the Scottish Cup to go unbeaten. No, they've been beat twice, mate, this season now, mate. So, honestly, I watched that game.
I watched that game, Robert.
Right, I'm no kidding. I don't know if we watched the game and took any knowledge or commentary. But honestly, mate, they two are so up their arse. It's unbelievable. I'm no kidding. Stephen Craig and Alex Ray were saying that Slavia Prague weren't really doing well. Rangers were attacking. Slavia Prague weren't attacking. But then they soon just scored the second goal. Aye, they've been the best team. Just
as
totally
blue tinted glasses, isn't it?
Just totally went against what I've said the full game. Then he says, "Aye, they're very experienced." I did watch it. And they were saying, "Oh, they're very experienced players. They've seen the game out. They've done well." But then half an hour before it, they were saying they weren't a very good team, and only Leicester beat them. You're thinking, "Come on, just be honest and say they've not been good the other two legs. They've done well last season, yes, but these two legs, criticise them. Stop." Been all nice and dicey, because we all know if that was Celtic, it'd be all Kennedy's never going to get the job, or he's never going to get this, and be all doom and gloom into papers the next day. I just think that, just be honest and say they were shit.
See all this, like, obviously the racism thing, right? We'll go into this. Somebody's written and said it about the racism, right? I get, right, obviously if that guy's been racially abused, then it's an absolute disgrace, because I don't like racism myself. I totally think it's a disgrace, and I think Gerrard comes out and screams, and he's screaming that it's a disgrace. If a guy's been racially abused, then aye, it's a total disgrace. We get that. But Steven Gerrard, which somebody tweeted earlier on Twitter, backed Luis Suarez when he called Patrice Evra a so-and-so. He backed him when he was with Liverpool. The supporters that goes to Ibrox every second week sing a certain few songs that we'll no need to mention, up to their knees in. Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously the rumours about the red and the soak. That's what that's meant to mean. We don't know, obviously, that. But as a football club, they've got the biggest cheek in this earth to say anybody's racist and bigots, because that's what their football club was founded on, as far as I was concerned. Didn't they sign a Catholic to 1978 or whatever it was? And there's a, I heard a rumour years ago, whether it's true or no. A tea lady, they found out a tea lady was a Catholic and they sacked her.
No, I've heard that as well. I don't know if it's true, but
I'll tell you a true story. When I was 12 years of age, we played at Ibrox and they couldn't announce us as St Bridget's at half time. The Catholic school, they had to announce us as Baileyston. Because the previous year, the Catholic school got booed off a park, wins at 12 years of age at half time. That's a true story. So, for them to come out and get the big high ground on racism and bigotry, people in glass houses shouldn't have flung stones, as I say. You know what I mean? And I don't like racism at all, but I just think, as that club try to come out and tell anybody about it, they should sort their own club out first before they start to date to anybody else.
No, I agree with you, mate. It's disgusting. As we've seen with Shane Duffy and James McLean, they're big against it, teen abuse and that's racism. And Instagram have basically popped it under the carpet and no one in about it. So if this has happened with Kamara, UEFA and Instagram and what happened with Ruth, they've got to deal with it, because if it's still getting dealt with, it's still going to get out of football. If it's still getting dealt with, they can't keep saying about the knee and this and that if I'm not going to deal with it, because how are players ever going to be able to actually relax about all this? Having to look at their phones in case they're getting that racial abuse. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. As you say, they've got to get dealt with. Just the thing that happened last night was disgusting. We all know we don't want to make rumours, but the chance of the guy saying something to him, it probably did happen, because why would you walk here with your mouth covered to him? It doesn't make good for football. It doesn't make good for their team as well. But it's something that we could talk about for a long time, because it's disgusting. It happens too often. And I think it's if it is Sky Sports who deal with it, or the deal with the Post, Instagram, UEFA, they've got to deal with it, because it's getting me on a joke now. People just think that they can go on a phone and just say what they want, and they think it's all right, and it's not all right. Especially even if the game is Sunday, we could get beat, Rangers could get beat, whatever. And you know for a fact there'll be some idiot that will post something to somebody.
Of course.
That it's ridiculous, and it's going to get absolutely eradicated out of football. But obviously, onto the game on Sunday, Chloe. Robert was talking about Edouard. I think Chiosa is a kind of a game where he's really, really, really good. Yes, he scored goals this season, but I don't think he's been the player that we know he can put up to his standard.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that can be said for probably all of the players, if not a lot of them. They don't seem to have been themselves this season for whatever reason. I don't know. I've heard Callum McGregor talk about confidence within the team and having to like focus on just the basics and stuff again and start from scratch. So hopefully Edouard can have a good game and yeah, score some more goals. He has done this season. So
I think it's been a strange season for him as well, obviously, with the COVID situation and his injuries and for France and stuff. So we don't actually know how he's been affected. But I just hope as well, again, that he shows us on Sunday, again, how good he really is, because we all know how good he is. And for me, he's the best player in Scotland, without a shadow of doubt. People say it's maybe Morelos or it's Kent. Or not. For me,
absolutely not. I'm sorry. There's no comparison with Edouard and Morelos. Absolutely not.
Because for me, Edouard's the best player. He's the best player in Scotland, and I don't think Robert, but we've spoken about, because we've no sold him, and we should have sold him for the amount of money. We're not going to get the value. I know we've had maybe two or three good years at him, but we're not going to get any value when it looks at a selling for him.
Well, it all depends, Ryan, doesn't it? You know what I mean? It's like, do we sell him right away, or do we let a bidding war start with a few clubs, because there's a few clubs in England that could be doing a striker, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Leicester for a start. There's talk of AC Milan interested in him. There's a few. I don't feel for that sort of money, like you're saying 20, 25 million, right? They're saying we probably get 30 odd earlier. Say £20 million. You look at some of the dumplings that went down in England for £30 million.
Mm-hmm.
McBurnie, £20 million, absolute dumpling. I don't think he would score a five-a-side game if you gave him the ball every time. You've got guys like Benteke at Crystal Palace, went for £30 million. Bad again. I just feel down in that English market that there's Jolton that went to Newcastle, £40 million. Terrible. I feel down there there'll be a few that will be willing to take a gamble on £20 million for him. I just hope it becomes two or three in a bidding war and you maybe get near the 30 mark. He's definitely going to go in the summer, and maybe a couple of European teams might be interested. What I'd like to see him is maybe going like a wee goal scoring run at the end of the season, and that increases his valuation. And best place to start is on Sunday. That's where the most of the world will be watching. So I still think there's a chance to get quite a decent return on him.
I hope so, mate, because I think for the player himself, he deserves a decent transfer fee, because for me on his day, he is the best player in Scotland. I don't think there's anybody can beat him. I know people might say McGregor's really good for Celtic or Forest, but I think all round Edouard's got everything, and I think he's just going to go into better things. As much as we're a big club to us, and kind of European terms, when it comes to money and fan base were massive, but when it comes to money and stuff like that, we can't really compete. And if we do get a £25 million bid, obviously due to a pandemic, we actually might need to accept less money than we actually maybe should. Which I don't know. It's a hard one, as you say. Do you keep him next season and let his contract run out, or do you get 15, 20 million from him? It's a hard one, isn't it?
Try and get him to sign a year's deal and say, look, we'll let you go. It's a hard one, isn't it? It's very hard.
And obviously, talk about Rangers games, Claire, is there any kind of Rangers games that kind of stand out for you? You've been to yourself, or you can remember watching?
Yeah, any of the 5-1 games or 5-0, when Dembele scored a hat-trick, that was a great game. Yeah, I've had a couple that are definitely memorable. I've been to with my dad and family, and it's been great. But I would say Dembele's hat-trick that day was my fave.
Because I think, talking about the 5-1 games, there's the game at Ibrox, we beat them 5-1 when PC Lucas scored that goal. We've had the game, brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah. We had the game where we won the league basically against them 5-1. Could have been 10-1, could have been 15. It was the same at Ibrox. And I think, I agree with you, they're the games that recently stick out for me because it could have been 7, 9, 10. It was just, we were brilliant, and that's memories that will never leave us. It's memories that will never leave us. And like, as you say, Dembele, how good would it be to have him back? Because it was, I just wish, as much as people might be in Cham dogs, if you just call it, I think, see if we had Edward and Cham at Dembele for a wee bit longer as that trio, I don't know what we could have done in Europe because we were really, really good.
Yeah, I would agree. The French connection, unreal.
And I know that as people give me, obviously Noon and Sam's really doing well in France, so maybe my opinion is really, 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 really stinking now, but they three, when that, I can remember that pre-season, they were really, really good, and it takes you back to that team. Again, we talk about it on this a lot, that how memorable and how good that team really were. People think because Rangers, you had Senderos and Barton, but as you said before, you could only beat who's in front of you, and what we done in the players we had, it was exceptional.
Well, the three boys that you're talking about in pre-season, they looked really, really good. They looked like they were ready to hit a right rain of form. And then obviously we sailed Dembele and stuff like that. It's like when you're running about your pals and you feel happier, don't you? Mm. So that was the connection. But and Cham for me, his career could just falter out, mate, for all the talent he's got. His attitude, to me, just isn't good enough. And I read about him before he came to Celtic, and it was an Italian sports writer. He was in loan at Torino or something like that. And he says, what the guy is, he says, a talented player, he says, but it's trying to get the consistency on him. He referred to his one game in every four where he's good. He says, but if you can get a consistency of him, you'll have a top player in your hands. And to me, he's still a one, maybe even less than one in four games now, player. And I think that's the problem with the guy. I don't know if that's down to attitude or he just finds it hard to consistently be good game in, game out. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I hope, as we say, even getting on. So I hope the penny drops for him sooner rather than later, wherever he goes or whatever he does, if he comes back to Celtic, because he's going to falter out a career.
On Ncham, Clay, what's your thoughts on Ncham? And obviously, do you think it's maybe best for us to cut ties with him now?
I don't know. I mean, I'll always love Ncham. That goal against Lazio was unbelievable. And I would say that, like Robert said, on his day, he's a great player, with having Scott Brown in the middle. And yeah, but I mean, sometimes there would be games where you were sort of like, where is he? Like, he's no doing what he usually does. I don't know. It's a hard one for me because I hadn't seen that article that Robert was talking about, but I would say that, yeah, his attitude maybe could improve. But I don't know if it's just that, maybe like a language barrier or whatever when he's over here. But he seems to just keep quiet and get on with it. But I'm not sure. I wish him the best of luck in France anyway, and we'll see what happens.
Because I've always, especially last season, I've always been a big, I love the guy. I think his talent is, I think talented-wise, he could play higher than us. But I just don't know if he's, but you said, Robert, I don't know if he's actually maybe he thinks he's made it now and that's him. It doesn't, again, we only know bits and bobs about what happened behind the scenes, and you only see really Twitter's a good feed for it, but it's mainly articles and social media now, you see a lot of things, but I just hope that maybe if he does come back to summer and whoever the new manager is going to be, maybe he can spark some life into him. But obviously, Sunday, Chloe, what's your predictions for Sunday, the last few bit on the game of Sunday?
Don't know. Whenever anybody says like, "Oh, what do you think the score will be or that," and I never like to say, just don't like to tempt fate. But obviously, I hope that Celtic win, and I think we need more than a couple of goals, I would say, because the thing with Celtic is that once they score a goal, it gives them that confidence to keep going, and they get a bit of fire within the team and a bit of motivation amongst each other. But then if the other team is to equalise, I feel like Celtic, that's when Celtic start to fall back a bit and start to go, oh no, and the confidence starts to fade away a wee bit. So I think a couple of goals are needed, and then at least if the other team score, hope that they don't, but if they do, then we can build on the couple of goals that we hopefully will score.
You're totally right when it comes to when we can see goals. We fall back into a shell and we kind of sulk, and it takes us.
Or if the other team scores first, even it's like, oh no, you don't have too high hopes, because it's as if the team start to go back within their cell. But hopefully Sunday they'll do the opposite.
Again, I totally agree with you. It's been that all season. And sometimes it's took us a goal to actually shut them up. And I think, Robert, in these games, that can't happen. You've got to start off strong. And I agree with Chloe. We've got to get, especially the first goal, and try and get a second goal as quick as we can to no kill the game. But as you say, it's put a bit of doubt, because they've not really been challenged this season. And I think we need to challenge them.
Definitely, Ryan. As Chloe says, that the Celtic team have sulked a lot this season and felt sorry for themselves. And the fire's not been there if we've conceded or an equaliser scored against us. I think we'll win the game 2-1, personally. I think Edward will score, and I will say Tamborello will go. That's what I'll go with. And they'll get a consolation near the end. But that's probably wishful thinking for me. But we'll just need to see on Sunday, mate.
I think I'm the same. I'm 2-1, mate. I think we're always liable to score, but we're always liable to concede. I just hope that the wee guy up front doesn't score, because I love the fact that he's not scored against us, and I just hope he doesn't. No, luck about enough Leach to score in the last minute, and that would be the best thing since sliced bread. But I just hope he doesn't. Hope we keep him out. I just hope we get a good performance, because I think they really owe us a big performance. I'm not saying they're doing, but I'm just saying they owe us a big, big performance, because I've not done a lot to cheer about. So I just hope they send us into work on Monday, and our lives on Monday, we're all happy, we wake up with a bit of smile, because let's be fair, we've not been smiling at all season, have we?
See, just a wee thing here, Ryan. If anybody wants to buy any Sean CDs, just message us on the page. He's a very talented singer and he's got a lot of CDs out. So if any of you would like to buy any CDs or stuff, let us know. We'll put you in contact with Sean. Just because he's come on and done a few songs for us, Ryan.
Yeah, as usual, we'll tag him in his post. He's got a few albums out as well. Obviously, when lockdown's finished, I'm guessing we'll be singing back in the clubs and the bars. Very talented singer, and I'm sure if you can hopefully get in the clubs and bars, etc., it'll be a brilliant night out with Sean singing. Also, as well, I have to mention the Just Us Tim's podcast. They're setting up a five-a-side kind of competition tournament thing. Hopefully, once lockdown's finished and the COVID restrictions are finished, it's for motor neuron disease. It's to raise funds. Again, it's a lot of people are kind of getting affected by this recently. So it's a very, very worthwhile cause. And again, hopefully, boys at Just Tim's podcast can get it sorted once COVID's done. And again, there is a lot of money for a very well worthy cause. But again, thanks for your time, Robert, Chloe. Hopefully 3 points to bag on Sunday and a bit more positivity. But again, thanks for your time. Hail, hail.
Hail, hail.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way. Because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.